Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Governor Kitzhaber thanks FEMA for helping rebuild Vernonia. New Seasons gets two new locations, and a man is on trial for burying his dead wife in a barrel.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, hide your loved ones, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need for Wednesday, March 30th. I was just telling them this is all they need for today. This is it. This is all you need.
And this paddle game.
And you should hydrate. 3 years ago, major flooding severely damaged the historical logging town of Vernonia. On Tuesday, Governor John Kitzhaber spoke at a ceremony to thank the Federal Emergency Management Agency for an $11 million federal grant that helped restore the city. Kitzhaber said that the way the state handled the floods in 2007 and previous major flood in 1996 is a wonderful success story that should be a lesson for everyone.
Well done on saving towns full of white people when they flood.
The $11 million federal grant is helping repair schools damaged by the 2007 flood. Some of the improvements include an updated gym, studios for art and shop classes, a climbing wall, and science labs.
By the way, on behalf of white people everywhere, I'd like to thank FEMA for also taking the time to rebuild towns filled with white people when they flood.
Good going, FEMA.
It's good to think that there's no other town anywhere that flooded in the United States that might need to be rebuilt at some point.
And
you know, get to that whenever.
They're also planning a new city park in Vernonia that will replace school buildings that were damaged in the 2007.
White people need more parks, Don.
We need more parks.
Where else are we going to fly kites?
And count our money.
And hula hoop. and thank the good Lord for our pale, pale skin.
Have you ever been to Vernonia, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
I went there for the garlic festival.
It is a charming little town.
A hamlet.
Absolutely, literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's I went to because it's either that I had to go through North Plains to get to Vernonia or I had to go to Vernonia to get to North Plains. One of the two. But there was a thing where you could go and you could get garlic that was like the size of a car. Anyway, so I went there and I kind of looked around and I went, well, I guess I've been here, and I sort of checked it off the list.
Yeah, I covered a festival in Vernonia when I worked for the newspaper out in St. Helens, because it's in Columbia County, and yeah, it's like what a lovely little town. And it's one of those places you think, I would love to live here. except that it's like an hour from everywhere, and there's nothing here.
Yeah, see, also Silverton. I mean, that's the reason I don't live in Silverton, which is a town that I love a lot. I mean, I really am a big fan of Silverton, but I mean, it's just the idea of having to drive for like 48 minutes every time I want to find a 7-Eleven or something is just not all that appealing. By the way, shrewd advice here from one of our listeners says, it says black people should just, this is from our friend Keelan, I believe. Yes, it is. It says, said black folks should just stock up on whiteface for when a natural disaster seems to be imminent. Hurricane, everyone, white up! You know, and then you get on television, oh, please save us. There's going to be something. It's going to...
I believe my sweaters are in danger.
My James Blunt records are going to be whisked away with the flood. Won't you please help? Okay. I'm just saying. So it appears to me everybody else. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us.
The things that we were unable to say when we were on what they call regular radio this morning. Oh, the things we weren't able to say.
No, I got a husk in my teeth. Hold on.
Okay.
There we go. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on this hour, you get your entertainment news, also science and the march. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. Also on your mobile device as well. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
A judge will decide the aggravated murder trial of a Central Oregon man accused of killing his wife and burying her body in a barrel. The Bulletin newspaper in Bend reports that 48-year-old Daryl Middlecoff of Lapine chose a trial by judge without a jury to avoid a possible death penalty if convicted in the July 2000 death of 40-year-old Brenda Middlecoff. Her body was found 3 years later, shot three times in the head. In closing arguments Monday, prosecutors said Daryl Middlecoff changed his story about his wife's disappearance so many times he was caught up in a web of lies. His defense attorney argued police lacked any physical evidence linking him to the death. A decision by the county circuit court judge is expected next week.
You know, here's the thing that I wonder about sometimes. When you can't, when there's, and I'm not talking about like a server error or like a problem with our internet connection or something. When you get the like the fail whale thing on Twitter, you know, where it's overcapacity, and when you get it for like 8, 9, 10 minutes in a row, as I have, do you automatically assume now that there's just some disaster happening somewhere?
I just assume
we're being buried under lava. Hashtag suck.
And I just assume like Ashton Kutcher must have done something really fascinating, like buy a new pair of shoes.
I'm just
everyone's reaching. Oh, OMG, Lady Gaga got a new hat.
Since before we started the show, which is now 10 minutes ago, it's just been nothing but the overcapacity whale. And so I'm just, yeah, I'm just wondering if I should look out and just be looking for plumes of smoke on the horizon. All right. I mean, which I guess means that at some point the Twitter capacity will be lessened again. So you're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program invades your ear holes next hour, courtesy of RickEmersonShow.com. You go to RickEmersonShow.com for that. Later on today, that will happen with Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. We'll be in the studio with us. Here is Don Taylor.
The owners of New Seasons Market announced today they plan to open two new locations in the Portland metro area this year. The company will open its 11th store in Beaverton in October and its 12th store in Vancouver in late 2011. Lisa Sedler, CEO of New Seasons, said, "Over the years, we've received more requests for a store in Vancouver than any other area. We're very happy to bring the friendliest store in town to the Fisher's Landing neighborhood and the surrounding Vancouver community. Soon we'll be scheduling meetings with our neighbors to brainstorm what features they'd like to see in the store as we work through the design process. We look forward to hearing everyone's ideas on how we can make the store easy and fun to shop."
And this is in Vancouver where?
Fisher's Landing.
As though I know where that is.
The Fisher's Landing neighborhood. If I believe it, the Fisher's Landing marketplace is this really sort of semi-upscaley, huge complex. I've been to my bank there a few times. There's a very nice Fred Meyer, and I actually stopped there and got coffee, and I had the most amazing bacon scone. So, you know, it's a good place for a New Seasons.
When you say a bacon scone, it was a scone with bacon, like as a sandwich, or like a scone, the actual scone itself was sort of had bacon baked into it?
It was baked into it. It was sort of your traditional drop biscuit style English scone, but it was savory, and it had big pieces of bacon in it, and it had cheddar cheese baked into
that
it.
That sounds fantastic.
And they warmed it up before they gave it to me, and I was like, I love you people. You're awesome.
New Seasons, here. It's so easy to snark about New Seasons, but the thing is, you know, that you, sir, if you want to go there and just spend I'm not even complaining, but I'm just saying, spend a lot of money on you know, a small container of food that is the best thing you've ever had, especially if you were hungry and you're at lunch.
Yeah,
you're like, I got to find me something to eat.
And their deli is amazing.
A thing like that that is just like, and it's all basic staples. I mean, it's just like, you know, cheese and bacon and some bread, but there's some sort of magical, like unicorn shavings or something that they put into it.
They also do those things where you say, oh, what's that? They say, oh, that's penne pasta with gorgonzola and organic Oregon walnuts and grapes. And you say, that sounds weird. And
$74 a pound, sir.
And yet it's delicious.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Another big budget deadline is looming with the annual spending plan already 6 months behind schedule. Both Democrats and Republicans are still bickering over who is going to be responsible. Republicans say the Democrats haven't presented their own plan, but Democrat Xavier Becerra says the GOP doesn't seem to have its own clear plan.
Xavier Becerra?
Xavier Becerra.
Please just spell the last name.
B-E-C-E-R-R-A.
All right.
Doesn't seem like right now it's a matter of the president trying to go.
This voice doesn't match that guy.
No, he should talk like Puss in Boots in the Shrek movies.
It doesn't seem like right now it's a matter of the president trying to negotiate with the Republicans. It's
trying to
negotiate. Like it's more a matter of Republicans trying to negotiate with Republicans.
It's not a word. There's no.
It doesn't seem like right now it's a matter of the president trying to negotiate with the.
Kill me.
Mm.
Did you just stop? Did you just eat and take a bite of a cheeseburger between sound bites?
Yes.
My God, woman. Have you no shame?
It's so delicious. It has Swiss cheese and sautéed mushrooms on it. I'm sorry. But Sarah said...
Would you like to just continue? We can just take a break if you'd like. You can just do some eating.
No, I'm sorry.
Hold on. Let's see if I can find some music for Dawn Taylor continuing to eat. Just What else is on your sandwich of joy over there?
Onions. A little tomato, lettuce and stuff. I get it at Mike's Drive-In in Milwaukee. It's delicious.
Is that the one that used to be like a... It used to be a KFC or something. It's a weird square... It's got like a circus tent thing that like collapsed look to it.
No, it looks like your classic old school drive-in.
And then I must be thinking of the one that's in Selwood.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of the one in Selwood.
Okay. You sure you don't want to take another bite?
No, I'm good. I can wait until we get to another pausey one. I just thought maybe that Xavier Becerra would be talking longer, and so I'd have a chance to swallow.
Okay.
Xavier Becerra says he thinks some Republicans don't really want a plan at all.
It seems like there is a growing number of Republicans, more in the House than in the Senate, who are content with shutting the government down.
Republican House Speaker John Boehner blames the Democrats, unsurprisingly.
It must be really easy to be a Republican or a Democrat because you never have to worry about, oh, what's our excuse for this going to be? You just, you've got an excuse. What, you go, wait, what am I? I'm a Republican. Ah, it's the Democrats.
How nice would it be if somebody, particularly the Democrat, I could see maybe the Democrats doing it, if somebody just went, it's our fault.
Yeah.
We're dragging our feet and we're not really making any hard decisions
we
here.
We really don't want to cure or fix anything because then we wouldn't have jobs left anymore. That's, I really, you know, if a guy just, you know, if he just said, look, it's hard.
We would actually take a position on this, but someone might not like us.
I thought this job was going to be easy, and I have to read all this, to sign these things and vote, and there's cloture. And
the House has passed our bill, and it's been nearly 40 days. And yet we've seen nothing pass the United States Senate.
My face is like a giant waddle. It just jiggles back and forth every time I try to talk.
It just always sounds really snippy.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Years of being beaten up on a school ground because of your school year, because
his
your name will probably do that, dude.
Boehner. Hey, it's Boehner. Stop it. A new push to sell marijuana in stores kicked off in Oregon this week.
I swear to God, for a second, I thought you were going to say a new push to sell marijuana in schools. Just sort of like we all thought it was a great idea. We looked around and we went, wait a minute, it's not so bad.
Kids aren't stoned enough.
Have at it.
No, this would be in stores. If supporters can get the initiative on the ballot and approved by voters, because that'll happen, it would allow any adult over 21 to buy pot at a state-licensed store or to grow it in Oregon.
Now, wait a minute. How is this different from what we just voted on and didn't pass?
I don't know. They're just going to keep throwing...
Well, you sound really high when you do that, too. That's the best part about it.
Dude, I don't know.
I don't know. It's all the same. This font, this point size is so tiny.
I swear it's like I already voted on this before. They're just going to keep throwing these things at the ballot over and over and over and over again until eventually something might happen.
This was the thing. This was the state-run dispensary, the thing that we just voted on.
This isn't about medical marijuana, though. I think this is just pot for everyone.
Weed for everyone!
The chief petitioner, Paul Stanford, has been leading the effort to legalize marijuana in Oregon since 1984. This time, he thinks even the name of the measure will get people to pay attention. The Oregon Cannabis Tax Act. To get the measure on the November ballot, November next year, supporters need to collect 90,000 signatures by July of 2012. And they're saying that, they're trying to push this one as saying it'll save people money, save taxpayers money, because you won't be locking people up.
Well, they tried that in California, and it didn't work. I mean, that was their whole tack, in November in California for the Decriminalization Act. And they ought to just, what is it, the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act?
Yeah.
They ought to just call it the Allman Brothers Augmentation Measure, because that's really what it is.
The Snoop Dogg bill.
Whipping post sounds even better. Oh, my brain.
Next year, Washington, Oregon, and California will all have marijuana measures on the ballot. Supporters say legalization would raise $140 million in taxes for Oregon and save $60 million in law enforcement costs. So,
What was that? Was it a sound of triumph?
That was one more done. Another story down.
Oh, I see. It's not triumph. It's not triumph over an ideology. It's triumph over the pile of news.
Right.
Okay.
One more for the pile. Take that, I said.
It's a happy day for Dawn, isn't it?
I'm in a good mood. I'm happy. A hapless state information technology worker who usually joined his office lottery pool.
I love people that are hapless.
He took a pass last week, only to learn that his seven co-workers won $319 million with their Mega Millions jackpot. Jill Cook, who with her husband Tom owns the deli where the ticket was sold, said, "Word is they were going around the office asking who wanted in on the pool, and one guy said no, he wasn't feeling lucky."
Wow.
They asked him twice. They said, "Are you sure?"
Oh.
And he said, yeah, he was going to pass this time.
That's the worst part, is they asked him twice, because then it's like nature was going, no, really, honestly, the universe is saying, no, pal, listen, you really want to? And plus, if they said, "Are you sure?" and he said yes, if I were an attorney, I would say that's a verbal contract right there, that you were opting out.
Yeah, apparently she referred to them as the Geek Squad, workers in the IT department at the state's Homes and Community Renewal Agency. And a number of them would come in from week to week and chip in for lottery tickets. They would come in for lunch every day. But in this case, this guy could have won. His share would have been $16 million after taxes.
Well, that's not so much, Don.
Had he kicked his money.
Here's the thing: it's got to be an all or nothing proposition. Either nobody in the office chips it, or just everybody. That's the agreement you ought to have. It ought to be like, look, we're all in every week, and you just bill me for it at the end of the year if I'm not around when you come collecting. If I try to pass, don't let me pass. Because, I mean, really, what you're doing there is you're buying, that's like a dollar a week. It's like, you know what it is? It's like when the house has a face card showing or an ace or something, and the woman says, "Insurance?" And then you say, yes or no. Here's where you buy the insurance. This is $1 a week insurance that you won't have to kill yourself later.
Yeah, this is a guy, too, is going to have to get a new job somewhere else because, he'll never live that down, ever.
By the way, somebody has the best assessment of this. I wish I'd thought of this. It says, he said he wasn't feeling lucky. I guess he was right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Spirit Airlines has added fees for travelers who wait to pay for carry-on or checked luggage within 24 hours of departure. Calling its
Bastards.
Previous bag
Bastards.
Fees... they're now calling their previous bag fees an early bird discount. Ugh. And they will now charge travelers who pay for checked or carry-on bags within 24 hours of departure online an extra $5... and an extra $10 for travelers who pay over the phone.
Oh, I hate you. Not you.
Spokeswoman Misty Pinson said, "With this updated policy, fees remain the same for customers who pre-purchase their bags at least 24 hours in advance via Spirit.com or through reservations. We're continuing to pass savings along to our customers who choose self-service options versus waiting until they get to the airport."
You can't pass savings along. Savings is like a handful of walnuts that you're just sort of passing around the room.
No, in announcing you're going to charge some of your customers more money for something is not passing savings along.
And so what is the who's going to be charged more for what? Is this like if I get to the airport and I have to check something?
I believe you already have to pay for your carry-on.
Right, but I mean, if I haven't told them in advance, I'm going to do it.
Right. If you don't pay for the carry-on luggage before you get to the airport or before you check in online, they'll charge you even more.
Okay, so if I get in line and say, how many bags have you taken? I say two, then it charges me whatever. But if I get to the airport and I go, I guess I'll check this after all, then there's an additional.
Yeah.
Here's the dick move at work here. I mean, apart from the obvious. The thing that's the jackassery here is that then all they have to do, and you know that they're going to do this, all they have to do now is just shrink that stupid frame that you're supposed to be able to fit your carry-on into before you're allowed to carry it onto the plane, and then bada bing, you got to check the thing.
Well, they're already the only airline that charges people for carry-on bags.
What airline is this?
Spirit Airlines.
Well, that's not true because Delta does.
Okay,
it too.
Well, at least they were the first then in April 2010.
The pioneers, Don.
And paying for carry-on bags when you get to the airport will now cost $40 at the airport check-in counter or $45 at the gate.
Now that's swell. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, and if your bag weighs between 41 and 50 pounds, you'll pay an additional $25 on top of whatever you already paid. So the check bag fees start at $28 for your first bag checked online or by phone over 24 hours in advance. Hateful people.
If we ever needed a reason, though, here's the thing. If anybody ever needed more motivation just to put in whatever the time and energy and cost, is required to just hunt down and expunge from the face of the earth the remaining members of Al-Qaeda, this is it. Because really, they wouldn't be able to get away with any of this stuff if it hadn't been for 9/11. I'm not saying they're not dicks. Clearly they are. I'm just saying the original dick here was Bin Laden. He really that's the ongoing punishment of the Al Qaeda attacks on 9/11 is that I'm having to pay $25 more for my bag and then another $40 when I get to the and then $9 for a bottle of water because I can't take it even though I just bought it 5 feet away.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Here's another thing. Like, can I just say this?
Sure.
Let me just here's one more thing. Here's the thing I don't... You just took that... You said yes so you could take another bite of hamburger.
Maybe.
Okay. Okay, let me just give me a second here.
It sounded like you'd be going for a while, so...
Okay. Never mind, I'm done. Go ahead.
No, okay. No, you're just saying that because you knew I was still swallowing.
No, it's just my thing is this. It's like you go to the airport and it's like it's not even stuff that I brought from home. Like if I have a bottle of water or something from home, I guess they could make the case like, well, I filled it at the tap in my house, maybe it's just filled with, maybe it's filled with botulism or spores or something. But that's fine, I guess, if you follow their logic. What I don't get is at PDX, for example, literally within sight of the guy who searches your bag is the little convenience or the Hudson's News or whatever where you buy, like, your Viso or your water or your energy drink or whatever. He sees you buy it over there. And even if that's not the case, the idea that somehow the beverages that are just on the other side of security are safer is a bunch of... Because that implies that there's some guy who searches every can of every beverage when it's delivered by off a truck in the middle of the night on a Tuesday before they put it in the convenience store. Because we know that happens. It's so much of malarkey is what it is, Don.
Well, I'm not saying this is a related story, mind you, but a U.S. Airways plane was grounded after a pilot making a pre-flight inspection found a hole in the fuselage. Sources told NBC News in Philadelphia that the hole was caused by what appears to be a .40-caliber bullet. Sources also say the bullet was found lodged in the plane's sheet metal. Authorities believe the plane was hit while beginning its descent into Charlotte Douglas International Airport on Monday. The hole near the rear of the plane was discovered after it arrived in Charlotte. The airline said there are no apparent problems during the flight. Passengers who were going to be on the plane for its next flight were put on others.
This is Charlotte, North Carolina?
Yeah.
Well, obviously it was somebody's birthday down below.
They said the hole in the Boeing 737 is being repaired and the plane will return to flying on Wednesday. The plane seats 144 people, although it wasn't clear how many were on the flight from Philadelphia. Yeah, I have no idea, though, who shot at the airplane or why, but I can imagine why.
A guy named Danny Ray. That's who did it.
A guy who just played $9 for a bottle of water.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. The Rick Emerson radio program at next hour at rickemersonshow.com. It is at rickemersonshow.com. And I want to say, what is it that I want to say? I want to say right now, everywhere, we want to thank some new our new subscribers for today. Welcoming new subscribers, Chris and another one which has escaped me, Chris and Richard. Had just moments ago came across the transom here. So we want to thank brand new subscribers to the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy, Richard and Chris. So thank you. Don't forget, if you have not yet subscribed to the Rick Emerson Show, here's the thing. Your humor receptors are being underserved. You may not know it.
You're behind the curve.
That's the thing, really. It is that, and everyone is laughing at you. I mean, you're being mocked by vast sections of the universe. So, I mean, you shouldn't live another day like that. It's either you're bringing shame on your family house. So we want to thank Richard and what was the other name that I just said? Richard and Chris, who are our new subscribers today. You can do that at rickemersonshow.com for the low cost of just 32 cents a day. And don't forget, your first week is free. And if you decide that frankly, we're not even worth 32 cents a day, and it's hard to imagine how bad we would have to be to not be worth 32 cents a day.
I
mean, how vastly uninteresting the show would have to become for it not to be worth... I mean, you go to the AM, PM, goddamn cup costs you more than that, even if you're not going to put anything in it. The cup is $1.50. What is up with that?
I paid more for my lunch than sitting right here. And it is a delicious lunch, mind you.
Than
for a month.
So there you go. But you know, you can cancel within the first week if you decide that we're just if we're undeserving of your love. So find out more at rickemersonshow.com. That is coming up about an hour from now. Here's Don Taylor.
Police say they found a man hiding in a doghouse after a chase in Hillsborough this morning.
Who's in the doghouse?
Woof.
Sorry, a little morning show energy left over there. Had to get rid of it. It's like it's like dumping out the last little bit of water in your bottle.
Pablo Herrera Ariola, 33, is accused of driving a stolen van and then refusing to stop for deputies. Hillsborough police officers say the van was stolen from an address on Southeast River Road. While they were taking a report of the stolen vehicle about 7 a.m., a Washington County Sheriff's sergeant saw the van 5 blocks away. The sergeant tried to stop the van, but police say Herrera Ariola took off at a high rate of speed. Deputies chased the suspect to Southeast Maple Street, where he pulled into an apartment building, a parking lot, and then jumped out of the van as it crashed into a parked Honda Civic. Officers say Herrera Ariola ran off, but officers searched the area and a canine tracked him to the backyard of a home where he was found hiding in the doghouse.
That's just, you know...
Yeah.
The thing is, it's bad enough if you're a criminal and then the man catches you. But it's got to be especially embarrassing if you are caught by a thing that just has a brain, like a pencil eraser. I mean, that doesn't really speak well of the mastermind aspect of your criminal career.
Yeah. And I'm not saying anything about the specific, really, about the readers of a certain local news station's website from which I got the story. But there are 3 comments on the story. The first 2 are jokes about how he's going to be in the doghouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3rd one is a guy saying, deport these vermin to Spain.
Why Spain?
I don't know. I guess he says, deport these vermin to Spain and give the Spanish government $10 per day per prisoner. They could use the money.
What did Spain do?
I don't know. I guess because the guy has a Hispanic last name, the guy figures, must be from Spain. I don't know.
Is this
Snowman 1937 seems a little unclear.
Is this because they blew up the Maine? I mean, really,
he's still holding it against them.
Get over it. It was years ago.
Damn that armada!
All right. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Here is Don Taylor.
Food and Drug Administration chemist Chen Yi Lang has been charged with insider training in a case that shines a light on abuse of government secrets. The government says Lang raked in $3.6 million by trading in advance of 27 FDA drug announcements since 2006. Officials directed Lang, 57, and his son Andrew on Tuesday on criminal charges. Chen Yi Lang was entrusted with privileged information to perform his job of ensuring the health and safety of his fellow citizens, said Assistant Attorney General Lanny Brewer. According to the complaint, he and his son repeatedly violated the trust to line their own pockets. The case is part of a broader effort by the SEC to root out insider trading among federal employees. again, guy worked for the FDA and used information he knew to buy or sell stock. And made himself $3.6 million.
This is why, it's right that I'm not in a position. Because it would be impossible not to do that. You know what I mean? If you just knew, they said, we're like, no, that thing where they said our drug killed a bunch of people? No, we're totally going to be exonerated, like, tomorrow. I mean, you'd have to duct tape me to the floor to keep me from going over and just telling my broker, look, put everything you've got into, Felixa. Buy it all now. I mean, I would absolutely do that. I'm telling you right now. I would break every known law and regulation. Because, I mean, that's what the universe is just handing it to you. You know? It's like they want you to have that money. The cosmos wishes for you to become wealthy.
Yeah, you go, ooh, that new cholesterol drug that Pfizer's been doing?
Yeah.
They're about to find out it makes you grow a fourth limb. Not a third limb, mind you, a fourth one. Never mind. It was funny. I started to say a fourth eye.
For you, it's
then
a third
I
limb.
Trimmed, yeah. A laptop, including the personal information of people who filed claims related to the BP oil disaster, has gone missing for a month, according to the company. The laptop included a spreadsheet with the names, addresses, birth dates, phone numbers, and social security numbers of claimants.
I'm sure it's a coincidence.
A BP employee apparently lost the computer on a business trip. There's no evidence that the laptop or data was targeted or that anyone's personal data has in fact been compromised or accessed in any way, said a BP spokesman, who noted the computer was protected by a password. To make up for the blunder, BP has offered free credit monitoring to the people who may have been on the spreadsheet.
You know, I guess it's really not all that surprising that they can't keep control of it. They can't manage a giant oil well when they lose something that's the size of a Tom Clancy hardback. You know, they're just not even. How many? It's one thing. It's not even. It doesn't even move. It's not even. It doesn't even. It's not plugged into anything. It just sits there. You know.
Oops.
Sorry about that.
Let's do science.
Here's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com, or you can call 503-252-1609.
I swear to God, you saw me reach for the burger and you sped up. You started talking faster.
Just now?
Yes.
No, I didn't see you reach. I really honestly didn't. I was just reading this message from somebody who says, I couldn't possibly date a woman with four limbs. Christ. Then they can run. No. Feel free. I'm going to do a little thing here.
No, I don't trust you now.
What am I? You don't trust me? What am I? You think I'm going to do?
I don't. Okay.
All right. Anyway, Squires Electric, you can contact them at 503. I forget the rest of the number. What is it? 252-1609. 503-252-1609. Ask about the cobbler.
Mm,
yes.
Cobbler.
Oh, it's good to laugh. Mm. By the way, you should know that if you're listening today and you are a Rick Emerson Show subscriber, the show is going to trend downward from here in terms of structural integrity. Whatever tiny, tiny bit of control we have over ourselves right now is probably going to be gone within half an hour or so, and this center won't hold.
Yeah, we talked about this when we were on KPAM this morning. I did the math and figured out that after I do Ham-Fisted Radio this afternoon on Cascadia FM, I will have co-hosted 10 radio shows in 3 days. And Rick Emerson only got 2 hours of sleep last night.
Except that's not even true. It's more than 10, isn't it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I went to bed at like 2:30 and I got up at 5, so it's going to be the best day ever. Also, I get to tape some stuff for Outlook Portland when we're done here today.
Woo-hoo!
So it's going to be fantastic. Squires Electric, about which you may have heard more yesterday at the end of the Rick Emerson Show when we were talking about Squires Electric, and then we just went down this rabbit hole of like single entendre that just... I won't say that I regret it, but boy, it was ill-advised. I mean, it really was just...
Yeah.
Can I just say that?
I apologize to Ben. I apologize to Ben's girlfriend, whatever her name is. I apologize to the people at Squires Electric. I as well apologize to anyone who loves tasty, tasty cobbler. I'm just sorry.
And by tasty, tasty cobbler. Anyway, I'll just say this, and I don't say this very often, but I... By the time we ended yesterday's Rick Emerson Show, I have to say there were moments I really could not believe the things that were being broadcast from this room. Not saying they were offensive in any way or that they were not amusing. I'm sure they were amusing, They're just not necessarily things. Who could have, I mean, really, just the idea that I spent 4 minutes of my short life playing Wolf Creek Pass by C.W. McCall, and then giggling to myself like a small child while it played. In any event, what was I talking about? Where am I?
Squire's Electric.
Sound like my grandfather. Where are my spectacles? All right, I can't look at you as the thing while I talk, because you amuse me so today. Your countenance, your visage makes me laugh. SquiresElectric.com.
For your amusement?
The website is 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical contractors, installers, and supervisors. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. They are Squires Electric, proud sponsors of Science on the March. Here's Don Taylor.
Your next car could be made from bananas. Researchers in Brazil have developed a new type of plastic that's stronger and lighter than petroleum-based plastics, and it's made from fruit. The new technique takes plants like bananas, pineapples, and coconuts and turns them into what's called nanocellulose fibers, which can then be used to create new plastics. The plastic is 30% lighter than traditional petroleum-based ones and around 3 to 4 times stronger.
It's good if you need that car to ferry the Globetrotters around the island with you.
Right now, I've just got this Gilligan's Island music in my head.
Yeah.
Whenever something goofy would happen. Right now, the plan is to eventually replace automotive plastics with the new plant-based material, which would improve fuel economy by making vehicles lighter. But eventually, the nanocellulose fibers could be used in more than just plastics. Researcher Alcides Liao told Wire, "We may be able to replace steel and aluminum automotive parts using these plant-based nanocellulose materials."
This comment doesn't make any sense. Every time Dawn takes a bite, a panda cries.
No, that doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't know what that means. Okay, here's Don Taylor.
All right. iPod owners need never run out of battery power again after researchers develop a way to power them using the movement of the human body. A team has created a tiny chip which uses natural motion to generate power for handheld gadgets. They hope it could one day even use the human heart to power a range of devices, including iPods and mobile phones,
now,
and do away with batteries.
Like the thing yesterday that I can't buy and that I'm not going to be able to purchase?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
The research is being hailed as a breakthrough and potentially has thousands of applications. It will also mean an end to the days when you can no longer use your iPod or mobile device because its battery ran out. The scientists from the Georgia Institute of Technology made their discovery using zinc oxide nanowires, which create electricity whenever they're manipulated. In theory, any body movement, even the pinch of a finger, could be used to generate power. So far, the team used the technology to transmit a radio signal and to power LCD displays and diodes, but they're convinced it could go further. Says if we sustain the rate of improvement, the nanogenerator may find a broad range of other applications that require more power. The device is thousands of times more powerful than previous efforts at motion technology, and represents the first time the technology has made it out of the lab. It uses millions of nanowires, which are 500 times thinner than a single human hair.
Now, but don't they have watches and stuff that do that already, where it's like you walk and the thing just winds itself?
Well, I think this is essentially the same thing, except it is creating electricity.
That's what the watch is doing.
I don't think so.
The watch runs on electricity, doesn't it?
But didn't the self-winding watches, wasn't that technically like you're winding it?
I thought it was, but when they said winding, I thought that was like in quotes. I thought it was like a figurative winding. Mm-hmm. I thought it was accomplishing the same thing as though you were traditionally winding it up. I don't think I was under the impression those were not actually mechanical watches.
Oh, I think they are. I think they were.
It's entirely, I mean, I don't know. It's entirely possible. I have no idea.
The oldest dogs in France were small lap-sized canines that lived up to 15,000 years ago, according to new research. These poodle-sized dogs raise a lot of questions about the earliest domestication of dogs due to their impressive age and the fact that most other prehistoric dogs were much larger. Maud Pionnier-Capitan told Discovery, "One or many domestication events could have occurred in France and more generically in the western part of Europe." She led a French project which was described in the publication Journal of Archaeological Science. She said, Eurasian archaeological data... the sentence here makes no sense, so I'm not going to read it.
Okay.
She and her colleagues analyzed the remains of animals once thought to be D-holes. I believe... Or perhaps that's pronounced D-holes. D-H-O-L-E-S. Oh,
when you said D-hole, I thought you were abbreviating it for the sake of decorum.
I know.
That guy's such a D-hole.
Thomas Gill is probably at home just bashing his head against the table right now. They were thought to be dholes, a type of wild canine, which I just like to call D-holes.
Pronounce it D-hole.
D-holes. The fossils were unearthed at Pont-d'Ambon and Montespan in southwest France. And
Why can you pronounce that and you can't pronounce the other thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
Radiocarbon dating found that the dogs had a height below 17 inches, about the size of a standard poodle, beagle, or cocker spaniel. And they could have warmed cold cavemen's laps in the shelters where they were found and were probably also used as hunting partners. And maybe dinner.
The base of a stew, yeah.
Is that all the science? Do we need more science? Do you want one more?
Sure.
Okay. Scientists have discovered that giving people a tablet of the stress hormone cortisol can help reduce their phobias. The hormone, which is part of the body's fight-or-flight reaction to danger, appears to open the brain up to being reprogrammed and to permanently remove anxieties. Tests on 40 patients with acrophobia, a fear of high places and edges, found those given cortisol in combination with behavioral therapy dramatically reduced their aversion. The researchers said the findings, published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, could lead to the development of effective treatments for a host of anxiety disorders. Half the participants were given the drug and the others were given a placebo an hour before being subjected to a virtual reality outdoor elevator ride. Their fear was measured 3 to 5 days and 1 month after the last exposure session. And they found that compared to the people on the placebo, the people who took the cortisol suffered significantly less anxiety.
I want to know who's responsible for designing these experiments that are supposed to induce fear. Because yesterday there was the thing about, like, you know, trying to simulate, like, being dumped. You know, and then today it's like they're just putting you like on a giant, on Wonka's glass elevator that shoots you into the moon or something.
Well, something like that. I like to think that they're like engineers at Disney or something.
The Imagineers.
They make money on the side by creating like virtual reality scare chambers to test people's phobias.
This is the way you're being eaten by a giant mealworm.
Yeah, all right. Or in my case, a clown. You know.
Would you like to, in fact, we won't. We'll do it next hour. Yeah. Next hour, don't forget to tell, you know the story I'm talking about,
I too. Do know the story you're talking about.
We have a very special, I guess it's a clown watch, sort of.
We'll call
and,
it clown watch.
That's, the clown watch runs on fear, by the way.
Yes.
All right, and so forth.
The mother of 13-year-old Donnell Dixon said he's been at Children's Hospital for 7 days after doing push-ups at his school in Detroit, Michigan. Vinyanda Mitchell said it was a punishment for running in the hall and closing lockers, and her son had the choice of detention or push-ups. Danielle said that he did 100. The director of the school, Sylvia Green, says the coach said it was 3 sets of 20, and the boys were able to pause in between and drink water. The day after the incident, the teenager said his arm swelled to double its normal size, so his mother took him to the emergency room. Medical papers said the diagnosis is rhabdomyolysis, which is a breakdown of the muscles often caused by overexertion. It can lead to kidney problems and blood in the urine, and Donnell's mom says he's had that. She's talked to a lawyer. The school director says they're devastated and are just hoping Donnell will fully recover. Again, they made him do 100 push-ups, and he's in the hospital.
You know, here's the thing. When the Chinese invade, we are going to be such weak, soft pushovers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. And I'm not saying I'm like a specimen of physical health or something. I'm lumping myself in with it. We are really ripe fodder for the heartless invaders from the east. I mean, there's just no getting around it.
And the worst thing about that was his good Xbox arm. So he's screwed now. The Supreme Court heard arguments Tuesday in a job discrimination case against Walmart. Plaintiffs are seeking class action status. Plaintiff Betty Dukes explains her experience while working at Walmart.
I didn't have no inside information about the pay structure because that's all confidential. But I could visually see that the men in my store was advancing much more often than the women.
She's the head of the amicus brief filing.
Joseph Sellers.
She could visually see.
Joseph Sellers, the lead attorney for the plaintiffs, elaborates.
What do you think he sounds like?
I don't know.
These women all were subject to the same policy. And as a consequence, they ought to be in the same case.
I didn't have no inside information about the pay structure because that's all confidential. But I could visually see that the men in my store was advancing much more often than the women.
All right. I don't have the GM worker. I felt like I got the four. I got the here's the sound bites that we have accumulated here in Legion of News that we sort of have hung on to. We got the two William Borakis. We got the generic guy.
At this point, we are only hopeful that
I love this guy.
The regulators will give us some clarity about their expectations, and then we can plan on that basis.
And then I think for some reason, I think I hung on to one of the Nancy. The
if he's still alive, what would be their working theory? Did she sell him?
We could actually be using that for a lot of things, probably.
We could.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to read the story now.
By the way, you're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Our Science on the March, back there, brought to you by Squires Electric at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up next hour featuring a sort of ad hoc clown watch. Also, Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week will be joining us here in the studio, I believe. He may be calling, but I believe it's in the studio. And we'll recap. We will get a little bit of the postmortem on our final day, filling in for Bob Miller over at 860 KPM. Here's Don Taylor.
What's sort of hilarious is that a number of the people there kept acting as if we would be going back at some point.
Well, they were just like, so we'll just save this for next time. And so Eunice went and chuckled. Okay, you do that.
Here's... Like this morning when our producer said, well, here's how you push the button to get buzzed into the building. And so, like, you know, next time you come in, I'm like, I don't think there's going to be a next time, but thank you. The Hausch family of Illinois was on vacation in the Florida Keys. And, basically,
yes.
Mrs. Hausch.
This is going to end in a penis.
No. Mrs. Hausch.
What's going on over there on your side of the table? Here's the thing. Yesterday, I would say that yesterday it took until about 1:15. It wasn't maybe until like maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes into the second show that you started to develop, I would say, visible signs of deep, deep fatigue. And everything started to become a lot more sibilant. Everything kind of developed a little bit of extra saliva. And then eventually you did this thing where I would look over and you would just sort of be looking at the formica and just rubbing it with your fingers. Oh, it's so pretty with the wood grain.
So tired.
Whatever it is that you've ingested in the cheeseburger, I think, is accelerating the rate at which your brain is half-lifing into nothingness.
Well, Mrs. Hausch, 39, was struck in the chest by a 5-foot-wide, 200-pound sea creature. The collision knocked her to the deck of the boat they were on with the ray, it was, on top of her.
Like a manta? When they say a ray, is that a manta ray?
This is an eagle ray, okay. but it's similar, yes. They spotted it from their chartered boat and said, ooh.
What's that?
Ray.
Let's go over there.
And then the 200-pound ray leapt onto the boat and landed on top of her.
Hi.
She managed to crawl out from under it and was not injured, which was... which was very delightful. Happened about 1 p.m. on Friday. She, her husband David, and her three children were snorkeling and collecting shells. And while cruising back from a sandbar, they spotted 15 to 20 eagle rays jumping in the channel, a sight that has delighted visitors and locals alike for many, many generations. Someone said, I see it quite a bit, especially around mating season when they're trying to show off. Yeah. Marine scientists don't know for sure, but they believe...
Baby, this is what you're missing out on. Watch. Whoosh.
Marine scientists said they believe the rays jump often as high as 10 feet into the air for two major reasons. To avoid predators like sharks and to rid themselves of parasites.
10 feet into the air.
10 feet into the air.
That's your Ray Allen that does that.
And so... in this case, one of these 200-pound rays landed on top of a person on a boat. Bob Hoyter, director of the Moat Marine Laboratory's Center for Shark Research in Sarasota, Florida, said, you get enough rays and enough boats, and it'll happen.
Well, that does seem logical.
Yeah.
I like the idea that they saw the ray, and then, you know, at some point, I wonder if it was literally that the thing was just sort of hanging out and they said, well, let's go over there and, you know. And here's the thing, what tourists always do.
They saw 15 or 20 of them, sort of like, let's go see that.
But when they say, let's go see that, I mean, I understand that that's what they're saying, they said. But what often happens is it translates into, let's go over there and then jab it with a stick and see what happens.
Yeah.
This happens every now and again at the coast where somebody will go out there and, oh, look at the squid tank. I wonder what happens if I just get a broom handle and get to jabbing at it. And what happens is you just get all beaked up. And, you know, that's a difficult thing to explain. You know, when a guy comes and has to fish your arm out of the bottom of the squid tank, it's a difficult thing to explain.
Well, they said that the family's actually lucky that their encounter ended as happily as it did. Jenny Hausch, the mom, had just captured an awe-inspiring jump off her camera when the same ray jumped again, and then it landed on her chest. Said it was a scary few minutes as the boat captain ordered everyone to the back of the boat to avoid getting slammed by the thrashing creature. And he said, everybody was crying.
Excellent.
The ray dies, everybody cries.
Pondering something there, and I'm just not going to do it. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Still to come, you got your entertainment news. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program is next hour at rickemersonshow.com. If you are hearing this program and you're hearing maybe part of it, not all of it, you had to get up, you had to go do a thing, talk to a guy, whatever, distracted by some sort of bright, shiny object or a bumblebee, perhaps.
A sea creature landed on your chest?
Oh, sure, that, yeah. You can get this program in its entirety at iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Let's do entertainment.
Okay. Here's your entertainment news for Wednesday right here at Legion of News.
Behind two bodyguards and inside of a glass case sits all of the hair that Justin Bieber recently chopped off during an infamous salon session in which he altered his legendary hairstyle forever. As you may have heard, the hair sold for more than $40,000 during a special charity auction on eBay, and now it's making appearances around the country.
The hair is on tour?
The hair is on tour.
That's awesome.
In fact, the hair is about to go on display at Lucky Strike Lanes in Miami, where fans of Bieber's hair can pose with it.
Fans of Bieber's hair.
As long as they cough up a donation for the tsunami relief effort
in Japan.
Oh my God!
The hair should totally release its own single.
Oh, yes.
Justin Bieber's hair. You know, featuring Twista. You know,
and does Justin Bieber's hair have a Twitter account yet?
I'm sorry, Dawn. I can't talk right now.
I know. I understand.
Damn you, fail whale! Why must you thwart all my attempts at humor? Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. TMZ has first reported that Charlie Sheen won the internet yet again when his upcoming mini tour sold out in just 18 minutes. He said that was a Ticketmaster record and that Charlie would be adding additional tour stops. His official website says $1 from every ticket sold on his whatever it's called, giant, violent, crazy man tour, whatever it is, will...
Meth guy goes nutso.
Yes. Will go to help Red Cross victims. And he said on Twitter, fastball, Detroit, Chicago sold out in minutes. Thanks to Sheen's cadre winning our fair... Yeah. But then CNBC later reported that seats are still available, not only on Ticketmaster, but pretty much everywhere. Many of the tickets that were originally sold weren't actually sold to people who want to go to the show. They were sold to ticket resellers.
To scalpers.
And Jane Wells of CNBC actually went online to see if she could buy tickets to his show in Detroit, which he had claimed was sold out in 18 minutes, and reported that the theater in Detroit only holds 5,049 people. But when I checked StubHub, which I guess is a ticket site, last night, just this one site alone had 1,449 tickets available.
Wow. So that is a thing. Here's why that's a great story, though, because that is some scalpers taking it in the pants. That scalpers who thought that they were going to be able to buy a bunch of tickets and then turn around and resell them like jackasses, for like 90 times the face value. And now they're getting screwed because because there's some people who want to go, but the demand isn't what they anticipated. Yeah. And good for them.
You're not going to have 5,000 people in Detroit who want to go hear Charlie Sheen rant.
Enjoy that, D-hole. Mm.
There will be no more Mad Men until 2012, AMC confirmed yesterday. All the fans will not be at a loss for drama in the meantime. An ongoing dispute between the network and the show's creator, Matthew Weiner, has delayed the arrival of the Emmy Award-winning show's fifth season. Insiders say AMC has dangled the prospect of a $30 million three-season deal in front of Weiner, but wants shorter episodes to make room for more ads, cast budget cuts, and more product placement. Weiner's pushed back against the changes, saying, all I want to do is continue to make my show and make it the way I want to with the people I want to make it with.
And also make $60 million.
Yes. What was this? More than 1,000 people have sent in audition videos to replace Gilbert Gottfried as the Affleck duck.
Okay, well, that's insane, but also you sound a lot like Mr. Magoo just there. Well, what is this in front of me? Do you have to put on your spectacles to read this?
Well, it's tiny. Look how tiny that is.
Okay.
That is. Someone else printed this. I can't see it. Among those are comedian Weird Al Yankovic and Danny Jones, the linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals.
How hard is it? Does the duck say anything but Aflac? Does the duck have lots of dialogue?
No, I think it just says Aflac.
Aflac. I mean, that's it.
By the way, Weird Al Yankovic later said, no, it's not true. He has not auditioned for it.
All right.
Danny Jones says he's anticipating a potential NFL strike, so he's looking for a second job.
That's fantastic.
He's taken his campaign to Twitter and Facebook. The insurance company says a 93-year-old woman has also auditioned. More than 10,000 people visited the site 24 hours after it announced the contest, and 18,500 viewed the job posting on Monster.com. Gottfried was fired after making insensitive jokes on Twitter about the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. He had voiced the Aflac duck for 10 years.
Boy, that's a thing. That is where you just go to your accountant's office that day to like pick up your last check, and he just looks at you and just shakes his head sadly and then says, get out.
They're, fittingly, the deadline is midnight on April 1st. There will be a follow-up audition in New York City.
Well, good for them. I mean, because here's the thing is because that could have turned out, that could have bitten them in the ass, that their spokesperson just goes online and says some things which might have been, that's the definition, I think, of too soon. Because I think it was within like a day.
Yeah.
Where he tweeted, the only one I remember was the only joke that I remember seeing, and I think it was the New York Post report. It was like, what did it say? In Japan, the beach visits you, I think it was like actually as they were still like getting aftershocks and whatever. And I think somebody at Aflac saw that, and about 4 seconds later, they had pressed. They must have a macro for fire, because it was like the press release was out like instantly that he was gone. So, but they really could have been they could have been tainted by that, and so they're actually turning it into a little bit of a media circus in a good way. So good for them.
You'll be happy to know FX has renewed Justified for another season. According to entertainmentweekly.com, ratings for Justified jumped 8% in its second season. They've also renewed Archer, which is earning a 22% ratings increase from its previous season.
I have not seen Archer.
I haven't either, and I want to because H. John Benjamin does the voice, and he's one of my favorite cartoon guys. But I've heard great things about it, but I've never, ever seen it. Graham Yost, the creator of Justified, said, I always say that the best review we've ever received on Justified is the fact that Elmore Leonard, who wrote the story that the show is based on, gets a kick out of the show.
Yeah.
I must add to that, now tied for the best feedback we've received is the news that a network as cool and original in support of as FX is bringing us back for another year.
I'm very happy about that. That's, as we've said before, it's like AMC and FX. I mean, they got the great content, the market all locked up right now. And between those two networks, they've got like six of the best things currently on television.
Yeah.
So good for them. Well done.
I want to close out our entertainment with my favorite celebrity quote in a really long time. Matthew McConaughey believes that his girlfriend, Camila Alves, the mother of his two children, is the woman of his dreams, and says he told Esquire magazine, I found this woman I want to make a family with, hopefully live our life out together, which is very, very nice. He also added that although he's in a committed relationship, he's still pretty much the same guy he's always been, saying, and this is a direct quote, am I a fun-loving guy, man, who likes running around in the summer with his shirt off, man? Am I a guy who likes to hang out with his friends and party and go to concerts and football games with his friends? Well, yeah. Yes, I am. Always have been. Always hopefully will be, you know?
Is this a written statement, or is this the transcription of a verbal statement?
Well, it's from an interview he gave with Esquire magazine, I believe it is probably a transcription of his actual
voice. Well, I mean, who can disagree that he does sound very much like the Matthew McConaughey that we have that we've grown to know and love? So, all right. Let's do one more here, and then we will bring the curtain down on this episode of Legion of News for Wednesday.
Well, I'm sure you'll be saddened to hear that Kevin Federline, the ex-husband of Britney Spears, is getting ready to be a dad for the fifth time. His girlfriend, Victoria Prince, is expecting her first child. Federline has two children with Spears, two children with his ex-girlfriend, Shar Jackson, and now will be a father for the fifth time.
Well, you know, the key to the survival of the species, Dawn, is genetic diversity. You got to spread that seed around as far as you possibly can. So dispatched everywhere, just the four corners of the earth for your male essence. All right. Thank you, Kevin Federline. Thank you.
Thank you for keeping our gene pool strong.
There we go. With that, we will end this episode of Legion of News. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. Okay. It's going to be a long afternoon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day via direct download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. This message just says, Don is dropping random syllables from all her words. It's gold! The gold continues next hour at rickemersonshow.com. As always, we thank you for listening. Be safe. We will see you tomorrow, Thursday, for another exciting installment of Legion of News. Good day to you. I said good day to you!